always have a great memory, did you?
No, I didn't. In fact, at school I had a notoriously poor memory, and my memory was so bad that my teachers went to great lengths to try to improve my organisational skills. Fortunately, I couldn't remember any of the techniques they taught me, so they were to no avail.
So what did you do? You realised you had a problem, you couldn't remember stuff, so you thought, oh, I need to fix this up. What did you do?
Well, I went online, and using Google and all the other wonderful tools at our disposal, I discovered the Art of Memory, which is a collection of loosely associated mnemonic techniques that find their origins actually in ancient Greece. And after discovering these techniques, I contacted Tanzil Ali. He's the Australian memory champ and a man who once memorized the entire Sydney Yellow Pages in only 24 days.
What? And what? And then yeah. Just how did he do that?
using just these same sets of techniques, basically.
But that's a lot to remember. Tell me more about these techniques, Daniel, and how they work.
All acts of effective memorizing essentially involve three stages. The first stage is becoming mindfully aware of the information that we want to remember. You can never remember something unless it's sort of gotten into your head in the first place.
So pay attention to it.
Yeah, that's precisely right. And to offer one very simple example, if I ask, for example, which way does the Queen's head face on the $1 coin, left or right, you know?
Oh, no.
But most people don't. And this is despite the fact that we've all seen hundreds and hundreds
of coins.
Yeah,
true.
So because we're never really paying attention, we don't really remember it. And for the record, she faces to the right.
Right. So the first thing, you pay attention. If you want to remember something, look at it carefully and kind of make an imprint of it on your mind.
That's exactly right. And in fact, that's an important part of the second stage, which is to create essentially a visual image which represents what it is you're trying to remember. So there are certain kinds of things that we all remember with very little difficulty. For example, we've all seen many, many movies throughout our lifetime. Many of them only once, and no one makes any deliberate attempt to remember a film. But with a little bit of prodding, you could probably tell me the characters and plot lines of any particular one. So our brains are primed for visual learning. So that's the next step, is to take things which are normally forgettable, like the yellow pages or abstract shapes or whatever, and then transform them into a mental image.
That's okay if you're talking about, this is what I think anyway, like someone's name, if you're trying to remember someone's name. I know people have all sorts of tricks for doing that, but for memorising something like everything in the yellow pages, how can you have a little link to all of those items to help you remember?
Yeah, so that's where the third stage of effective memorising comes in, which is basically organisation. Now, the way we organise information when we learn it is what dictates our capacity to recall it later. One very simple example is the alphabet. We all know the alphabet, but if I asked you for the 15th letter, you probably couldn't give it to me without going through the rhyme.
No.
Now, what the memory techniques do is they allow us to organise information that we learn in ways that basically like access it in all sorts of different ways. So the way, a very, very simple way of doing this is creating a story between objects. One of the ways that Tanzil will have memorized the yellow pages is basically to create visual images for the numbers and then string those together in imaginative, creative stories.
So, Daniel, are you saying that anyone can learn these tricks?
Absolutely.
Or techniques, I should say, rather than tricks.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, the amazing thing about them is that there's really very, very little learning curves. They can be picked up straight away and used by people, even with very little practice.
So what's your highest achievement in memory to date?
My highest achievement so far was coming second at the Australian Memory Championships last year. And I also set an Australian memory record by memorising the order of 99 abstract shapes.
Yeah, take me through it.
Basically, I was given pages of essentially ink blots, I suppose. I was given 15 minutes to memorize the order of as many as I could. And then I was given back other sheets with the same shapes, but jumbled all up in a different order, and I had to reorder them.
So that's a good, you know, that's kind of like, it's good to, if you're in a competition or as a party trick, but how has your increased memory ability altered your life, Daniel?
In all sorts of ways. I mean, it makes day-to-day things much easier, but perhaps the most profound way in which it's changed my life is the way in which it's transformed my relationship to learning. So when you have techniques that let you learn at much higher speeds and that also make learning an exercise of creativity and one that's, you know, sort of imaginative and so on and fun, the vistas are much greater. There are no learning tasks that I'm not afraid to take on anymore.
And what are you learning at the moment?
At the moment, I'm doing my honours degree in philosophy at Macquarie University in Sydney.
Right, and you're finding that these techniques are really helping with that, obviously. What about day-to-day things such as, does this work for remembering the names of people?
Yep, absolutely. Remembering names is, I think, a memory challenge that a lot of people feel like they struggle with. But in fact, remembering names and faces is one of the techniques, one of the events in the memory competition. In fact, I think the world record for the names and faces event is 57 names memorized in only 5 minutes.